from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Vice President Maruf Amin affirms government is committed to accelerating electric vehicle ecosystem. Swiss Ambassador to Indonesia Olivier Zender says Switzerland is interested in developing the Nusantara capital city. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where the government is committed to accelerating the development of the electric vehicle industry ecosystem through the development of battery manufacturing for electric vehicles. This was conveyed by Vice President Maruf Amin in his remarks at the opening of the Gaikindo Indonesia International Auto Show 2024 exhibition at the Indonesia Convention Center Tangerang Regency Banten on Thursday. Quoted by Antara, Vice President Maruf Amin also said that the government is strengthening regulations and providing incentive to grow the domestic automotive industry. He emphasized that the government continues to be committed to realizing an independent, resilient, and sustainable national automotive industry. According to the Vice President, Indonesia has established itself as an export center for motor vehicles, both fueled vehicle and electric ones, by 2030. Therefore, Vice President Maruf Amin hopes that automotive industry players present at the exhibition will expand cooperation and collaboration between business players in research and development of the vehicle ecosystem fueled by renewable energy. The Swiss ambassador to Indonesia, Olivier Zender, said that his country, private industry, is interested in participating in developing the capital city Nusantara IKN as long as conditions allow. In a press conference session at the official residence of the Swiss ambassador to Indonesia in Jakarta on Thursday, Ambassador Zender said that his side plans to visit Indonesia's new capital city candidate directly.
We were planning to visit there. We'll see what comes out. But I'm sure we have many companies who are. I spoke recently with one big group. They have knowledge in very specific areas like power generation, water distribution. So they're ready to come. But once the situation settles and they have the necessary guarantees, they will come. Sure. But it's a great opportunity for companies to participate in the creation of a new city.
In a statement released by the Swiss Embassy to Indonesia, Ambassador Zender reiterated his commitment to deepening bilateral relations with Indonesia in various sectors, including trade and investment cooperation, skills development, and disaster risk management. Indonesia will soon adopt several forestry policies as a result of the 27 ASEAN Senior Officials on Forestry, or ASOF, meeting. The meeting took place for 5 days from Monday to Friday in Jawi Bogor Regency, West Java. Quoted by Antara, Director General of Sustainable Forest Management at the Ministry of Environment and Forestry of the Republic of Indonesia, Dida Mikfarida in Ciawi on Thursday revealed that policies adopted were regarding the sustainability of mangrove ecosystems. In addition, Dida also said that Indonesia has a commitment with ASEAN countries to develop a standardization of the best forest monitoring system so that Indonesia has the same recognition at the ASEAN level. Meanwhile, Director of Land and Mangrove Rehabilitation of the Ministry, Inge Ratnawati, explained there are at least 5 strategies that are systematically prepared and discussed at the ASOF meeting. She hopes the strategy can be formally accepted by all ASEAN countries. Speaker of the Regional House of Representatives DPRD West Sumatra Province, Supardi, believes that Nagari Village, Mike in Bukit Barisan District, 50 Kota Regency, has the potential to become an international, special, and interesting tourism destination with its menhir site. Quoted by Antara on the sidelines of the Mike 2024 festival activities held in Nagari Mike, Supardi said, the festival could be a door to introduce Nagari Mike and menhirs to the world stage. He believes that Nagari Mike has an interesting Stone Age history to be studied further, but until now he has not succeeded in revealing the civilization that once occurred in Nagari Mike. Currently, Supardi said, researchers from Japan, Egypt, Australia, and Germany have arrived in Nagari Mike to see firsthand the cluster of menhir stones, which are thought to have existed since the megalithic era. Based on the results of temporary carbon measurement, skulls from Nagari Mike studied in Australia are estimated to be buried in 4000 BC. Date fruits products from North Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara get the opportunity to be exhibited at the world-level date exhibition in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates. Quoted by Antara, Ukwah Datu Date Plantation Manager John Arif Munandar in North Lombok on Thursday said that the exhibition will last for 3 days at the Abu Dhabi International Exhibition Center on November 26 to 28. Arif said, this exhibition is the second opportunity received by Ukwah Datu. In 2023, they brought North Lombok dates to Abu Dhabi and ranked 7th in the International Date Exhibition. North Lombok dates have a uniqueness that is not owned by dates from Middle Eastern countries, which can bear fruit throughout the year. John Arif Munandar also said the climate and soil quality had created uniqueness for date plants in North Lombok. Let's move on to the international news, where the Pacific Island nations and Japan on Thursday sharpened their stance on regional security in a field attack on China's rising influence and military capacity. The 18 Pacific Island Forum members in Japan, in a joint statement during the Pacific Alliance Leaders Summit, expressed strong opposition to unilateral attempts to change the status quo by threat or use of force or coercion anywhere in the world, AFP quoted. The phrase is often used by United States and its allies, referring to China's efforts to increase its military and diplomatic power. The leaders were said to be committed to ensuring a peaceful, stable, and prosperous Asia-Pacific region and expressed concerns over the rapid military buildup, which they deem not conducive. They also called for proactive, responsible, and transparent engagement to uphold regional peace and security. China and Western countries are competing for influence in the contested Pacific region by offering infrastructure and security assistance. The Malaysian government reaffirmed its commitment to seek justice for the families of victims of the Malaysia Airlines MH17 crash that claimed the lives of 298 passengers and crew members 10 years ago, including 43 Malaysians and 12 Indonesians. Quoted by Antara, Malaysian Transport Minister Anthony Lokis said in a written statement on Thursday that a decade had passed since the downing of Malaysia Airlines MH17 on July 17, 2014. Lokis said, the Malaysian government reaffirmed its commitment to a transparent judicial process under international law against those responsible for the tragedy and committed to seeking justice for the families of the victims. In 2022, a Dutch court sentenced to life imprisonment 3 people, including Russian and Ukrainian citizens. Local Taiwanese environmentalists have voiced concern over massive coral bleaching in southern and eastern waters off the coast due to a prolonged heat wave. Quoted by Antara from Xinhua Thursday, Secretary General of Taiwan Eco Angel Environmental Conservation Association, Lane Chan, said divers have detected coral bleaching in the waters off Kenting in southern Taiwan, as well as around Little Liqiu Island, Orchid Island, and Green Island in Taiwan since last June. Meanwhile, the Lokuyu Association, another environmental non-governmental organization, also reported instances of coral bleaching in June and July. According to Lokuyu Association volunteer Lee Kun Sin, the seawater temperature around Little Liqiu Island usually range from 28 to 29 degrees Celsius during the summer, but the temperature has consistently been around 30 to 32 degrees Celsius since June this year. Lee warned, if the high temperature continues after the bleaching, it is likely the corals will die. Listen, now let's move on to commentary for today.
Today's commentary is on Paris bans thousands of people from attending Summer Olympics. The city of Paris is being transformed ahead of the Summer Olympics, which will take place from July the 26th to August the 11th. There is something interesting about holding the Olympics this time. The opening ceremony doesn't take place at the main athletic stadium, as is usual for events like this, but on the River Seine. It is estimated that 500,000 people will watch directly from the stands, the riverbank, and even from apartments overlooking the river. In the opening ceremony, thousands of athletes will sail down the river at sunset towards the Eiffel Tower. The decision to use the 6-kilometer-long Seine River as a spectacular stage for the July 26 ceremony is certainly a big challenge for security officials. They must ensure the safety and security of Olympic athletes and spectators. French authorities said 45,000 police officers and gendarmes, a military force tasked with enforcing the law among the civilians, were deployed for the event. France also deployed 10,000 troops in the Sentinel military operation. Security measures for the Paris Olympics were implemented long ago. France Interior Minister Gérald Darmanin on Wednesday said France law enforcement agencies had carried out 870,000 administrative investigations ahead of the 2024 Paris Olympics and banned the attendance of nearly 4,000 people for security reasons. According to him, security forces must carry out 1 million administrative investigations by the first day of the Olympics against those who participated in the Olympics in any way. The banned list includes 131 people from the FISH-S list, considered a serious threat to national security, 18 radical Islamists, 167 left-wing activists, and 80 right-wing activists. On the blacklist, security forces also include people suspected of being involved with foreign state security services and having the potential to interfere in French affairs. A special battalion was formed and assigned to secure the athletes' departure zone located along the eastern part of the river. The battalion's mission includes full protection of the area, boats, and participants, in close coordination with other security forces. The Paris Olympics is a world sporting event which will be attended by thousands of athletes, including 29 people from Indonesia, as well as millions of spectators from various countries. Their safety is, of course, the host's main priority as the organizer. It is hoped that the Summer Olympics will run smoothly without any security problems. That was commentary today.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Sun goes down across the city, searching for something inside of me. I will find all the lost pieces, heart will feel deep in real. I was blind but now I see. Hey, yeah, yeah, you're the one. Hey, yeah, yeah, you're the one.
Thank you.
Listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin said that the government is committed to accelerate the development of the electric vehicle industry ecosystem by developing battery manufacturer for electric vehicles. That was stated by Ma'ruf Amin in his remarks when opening the Automobile Industry Expo Gaikindo Indonesia International Auto Show, or GIAS 2024, at Indonesia Convention Center ISBSD on Thursday. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, the Vice President said, "The government keeps strengthening regulation and incentive to grow the domestic automobile industry, as well as accelerate the electric vehicle industry ecosystem by developing battery manufacturer for electric vehicles." Vice President Ma'ruf Amin affirmed that the government stays committed to realizing a national automotive industry that is independent, strong, and sustainable. One of which was through accelerating electric vehicle ecosystem development. Therefore, Ma'ruf Amin also wished the vehicle industry players joining the GIAS to expand cooperation and collaboration among businessmen in research and development of the renewable energy-based vehicle ecosystem. The Vice President explained that the move was important to accelerate carbon emission reduction and support a more eco-friendly and sustainable economic transformation. He asked the vehicle industry to improve the quality and quantity of the manpower so their products can meet the international standard. Then, Vice President Ma'ruf Amin asked the automobile industry players to boost more innovation by studying, observing innovation development prospects, as well as modifying by still considering local content capacity and capability in Indonesia. He also asked for the production capacity and the export of the national automobile industry to be optimized.
Yang tak mungkin sampai di sana. Sudah kau harap cerita kita kan berbalas mesra.
Oh percuma.
Tak bisakah kau lihat ku sudah ada yang punya.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voanews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
For you who enjoy cultural arts, especially traditional ones, Wanu Rejo Tourism Village should be your next tourist destination. Wanu Rejo Tourism Village is located in the southeast of the Borobudur Temple area. It takes about 2 kilometers to get there from the city center. Wanu Rejo Tourism Village is one of the tourism villages that borders the Borobudur area, located between the Menoreh Mountains, flanked by Progo River and Sileng River. Wanu Rejo, the tourism village, has a stunning natural landscape. Walirejo Tourism Village has 9 hamlets and offers a variety of integrated tourist attractions, from homestay, attractions, food, handicraft to cultures, while still maintaining local wisdoms. The 9 hamlets, namely Bronjonalan, Tingal Kulon, Tingal Wetan, Bejen, Ngentak, Soropadan, Barepan, Jowahan, and Gedongan, cover 470,100 hectares of area. It is recommended to go to Gunung Roso Pondok Tinggal Museum during your visit to this tourism village. Inside, you will find all kinds of wayang or shadow puppet from Indonesia and other countries such as Cambodia, Turkey, and China. You will also find arts and cultural performances in this museum. Besides watching the traditional arts and cultural performance, you can also see the old mosque with a mysterious beduk or large drums used in mosque, going back as far as the Prince Diponegoro era. Visit Umbul Tirta Holy Spring Water and the tomb of Kyai Wanu, the village discoverer. For souvenirs, you can buy rengginang or rice crackers, tempeh, and palm sugar made by the locals. If you would like to stay the night, homestays are also available. Walirejo provides about 63 homestays available for rent. They cost around 350,000 rupiah to 450,000 rupiah, or 21 to 27 US dollar per night.
Still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany. VOI listener, Bali won the award as the third best islands to visit around the world. The award was part of Travel Plus Leisure magazine's World's Best Awards 2024. For this annual awards, Travel Plus Leisure asked the readers about their travel experience across the world, then shared their opinion about hotels and spas, cities, safari and tour operators, transportations, cruises, as well as islands and national parks. More than 186,000 respondents joined in the survey. Maldives, Phuket, and Bali stood at the top of 25 best islands to visit around the world, based on some criteria such as natural attractions, beaches, activities and sites, restaurants, food, people and friendliness, and value. Listener, Bali has natural beaches with clear water, making the island the most ideal spot for relaxation and rejuvenation. This gets better with many interesting activities starting from surfing, snorkeling, to joining traditional festivals and tasting local dishes. Travelazer wrote that Bali is called the Island of the Gods. Bali has a rich heritage that can be experienced through traditional ceremonies, old temples, and intricate dance performances. Travel and Leisure readers praise Balinese people and their value for money or quite affordable for foreign tourists. Between Maldives at the first and Bali at the third rank, there was Phuket Island in Vietnam. The island off the western coast of Vietnam in the Gulf of Thailand is a new destination. While several beaches in Southeast Asia are developed, Phuket keeps its tranquility. It has less people, but tourists can enjoy the island's most indulgent hotel. Well, listener, that's today's miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
Agar dia yang suci.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia, only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's Music Corner is going to present a original song from South Sulawesi, entitled Buta Kala Sukangku. The lyric of the song and dance Buta Kala Sukangku, which means land of my birth, tells the story of the people of Makassar who missed their homeland in their overseas life. The song also depicts the people of Makassar who high respect and uphold the noble culture of their hometown. In maintaining adatta Rimangkasara, the tradition of being a Makassaris, the people of Makassar are always polite in speech, kind in behavior, and gentle in action. Listener, here is the song Buta Kala Sukangku from Makassar, South Sulawesi, sung by Ivan Suwadi featuring Putri Reski. Happy listening!
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Tunjukkan padaku
adakah yang
untuk dilahirkan temanku, saudaraku, keluargaku pun aku. Siang berganti malam, terdengar panggilannya, suara anak-anak kecil yang pergi ke langgar, menghampiri yang dewasa di sana tanpa tahu apa-apa, melangkah dengan riang gembira. Tunjukkan padaku
pikiranmu.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.